Facebook has long been accused of, well, I guess the right term would be censorship. This belief came from how your news feed would be filtered, what posts and photos were either blocked or taken down, and who could advertise. Now, it's an obvious challenge to police what you have a couple of billion people doing on your digital platform. One would hope that, you know, Facebook might want to try to lead by example in fairness and honesty. My next guest recently came up against this Facebook bias when he attempted to buy ads for his work regarding writing about global warming, which he also presents in his book, Inconvenient Facts, The Science that Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know. Here to discuss this whole situation is Gregory Wrightstone. Thanks for being here today, Greg.
Oh, thanks so much.
And Greg's website for his book, by the way, inconvenientfacts.xyz, inconvenientfacts.xyz. So give us the background, because buying ads online, it's a thing to do. You want to promote your work, your product, your venue, whatever it may be. It's cost efficient. It gets you to a lot of people. So it seemed like a no-brainer, certainly for someone such as yourself. So what did you go in expecting? What did you wind up have happening?
Well, I had been buying ads for some time, and the banning of my ads started about two and a half months ago. And I've been writing, since the publication of my book, I've been writing opinion pieces that get picked up by some of the major news services like Ben Shapiro's and Laura Ingraham's website and others, The Daily Caller. I've been very successful getting those posted, and then I want to post ads about them. Now, bear in mind, none of my posts themselves have been blocked. It's the ads promoting those. And about half of my ads that I try and do are blocked by Facebook, who says that they're political and that they won't allow it. Now, it appears that this is being driven particularly by some of the conservative websites, depending on which website I publish it on. The two I had on Ben Shapiro's site, both of those got blocked. So it could well be that their algorithms, or they flag certain sites, that anything from those certain sites are in Facebook's opinion fake news or political. The last one that was blocked was on Antarctica. There was my opinion piece there was on a complete scientifically based refutation of the notion that Antarctica is warming and melting. It's not. But I went back and through the science, and they rejected that for the reason that they said it was political. Well, you and your listeners know, if I had posted something and had a blog or an opinion piece that said that Antarctica was warming and not actually increasing in ice, you know for sure that would have been approved by Facebook. But since I went against the company line and against this notion of man-made climate change and catastrophic warming, it got blocked because of that, because I disputed that. And I had other posts that, frankly, were political. I had one taken on the Pope on his stand on climate change. The title of that one was "The Pope Has It Exactly Backwards on Climate Change," and they had no problem with an ad on that. So I think it's driven a lot by which website this is being picked up by.
So hypothetically, if you manage to get one of your writings posted at Huffington Post, you might stand a chance of actually that one getting through.
Yeah, well, good luck getting that posted on the HuffPo, though.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they have a token conservative over there from time to time, just to, you know, give the impression of fairness and lack of bias. But
okay, I wasn't aware of that. Everything I've read from HuffPo was pretty over the top politically to the left. I've got a love hate relationship, because I can reach many thousands of people. I've had the one on Ben Shapiro's site, the first one, it was shared by we had 1,500 Facebook shares of my first post there. So how many people might that reach? 100,000? 200,000? Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, too. I'm thinking of it financially. I mean, they're looking at an environmental scientific issue as politics, and given the enthusiasm for investing in Facebook, if I'm a shareholder, I'm thinking, why are they denying revenue?
Exactly. Well, they're under a lot of pressure right now, and since I've heard a lot of people not liking Facebook anymore, since they changed their algorithms of who you can see and who you can't see. And I spend a lot of time on Facebook doing promotions, and I have a few different Facebook pages that I support. This is probably the one too, that there are other social medias out there. I do a lot of original writing that I provide to LinkedIn. And I have quite a few people. I've traveled around the country speaking at different venues, and I've got a lot of people just coming up to me and say, "Oh, I know you. I follow you on LinkedIn. All your writing and the things you post. I don't do a lot of it, but a lot of it's original and it's very very informative. I take a look at the inconvenient facts of climate change that a lot of people just don't know. Things like the overarching theme of my book is that rising temperatures and increasing CO2 are benefiting the Earth and humanity. And that was a talk, the title of my talk I just gave in Houston last week. Spoke at a large convention of 4,500 people. I was the featured breakfast speaker there. I was in Washington, D.C., the week before that, speaking to the Eagle Forum, Phil Schlafly's group, in Washington, D.C., to a gathering of collegians that were there, young people who actually gave me faith in the young people of our country, that we've got quite a few really well-educated, grounded young people that hopefully can stand in and be the future leaders of our country.
Dr. Gregory Wrightstone, his book, Inconvenient Facts, The Science Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know, inconvenientfacts.xyz is his website. You can read samples of the work, more importantly, add his book to your library, listening to Issues and Ideas. And on related note with your book, and given the fact of what we're seeing in the, well, pretty much the western half of the United States, it's being said the rash of forest fires is a result of global warming. Is there what's the science say versus that claim?
Yeah, I've got, if you go to my website, inconvenientfacts.xyz, I actually have a page devoted to forest fires. And what we see, notwithstanding the rash of forest fires in California and other parts of the West, worldwide, we look and we see, and the experts at the Canadian Fire Service and National Interagency Fire Service here in the United States say, and I've charts in the book, that we've been on a long term, and by that I mean 100 plus years, decline in forest fires. I know it sounds contrary to everything you hear, and especially now we're in fire season, but they have California itself is in a drought. However, droughts have been in decline along with forest fires over a long period of time, and I document that in the book as well. And it's attributed, according to the experts, to an increase in soil moisture content. One of the largest studies on forest fires took a look back, going back to the beginning of the 20th century, and the guy's name was Dr. Howell from the University of Shanghai. And he reported a long-term, and that's on my website, I have a chart from his book, 100-plus-year decline in the area burned to forest fires in the Northern Hemisphere, Asia, Europe, North America. And they attribute it to increasing soil moisture, and that soil moisture increase is due to climate change. Increasing temperatures mean that the atmosphere can hold more water vapor, which leads to more precipitation, which leads to higher soil moisture content. And then that's turbocharged by the CO2 fertilization effect, which means that plants' pores, what they're called, their stomata, aren't as big. Plants don't need to breathe in and out, what we call transpiration, as much, so they don't need as much water. They're not sucking water out of the ground. Those two things are combining for an increase in soil moisture content around the world, which in turn leads to a decrease in forest fires. We also see that NASA, and if your listeners actually can check up and they go, "Oh, this guy's crazy, Craig. He writes down, he doesn't know what he's talking about." Google NASA, greening, and Sahara and see what you find. And what you'll find is that according to NASA, up to 50% of the Earth is what they call greening. In other words, vegetation's increasing, and that's due to a combination of increasing precipitation and increasing CO2 fertilization effect. Those two combined are leading to a greening of the Earth. So up to 50% of the Earth is greening, and according to NASA, only 4% of the Earth is what they call browning, or in decreasing vegetation. And if you check on that map that you will find where you, when you Google NASA greening in Sahara, you'll see that the southwest of the United States around Southern California is part of that 4%. So it's a pretty good trade-off if up to 50% of the Earth is greening and only 4% is browning. Now, it's too bad for you if you live in that 4%, but that's a pretty good trade-off. I'd take that any day of the week if we have a 50% increase and a 4% decrease.
Absolutely. It should be mentioned, too, that a lot of what's been happening in California has been caused by environmentalist limitations of preventing fires like this happening through...
Exactly. The director of the Cal, I just read yesterday, Cal Fire, that directs that, attributes, he didn't put a percentage on it, but he attributes a lot of this to their inability to manage the forest, that the forests are actually too dense by five times. In other words, the trees are packed too tight together. They've not been able to be thinned, which leads to, in his estimation, a lot of the problems that they have out there, and that it would really help to have controlled burns at times, thinning of the forest, all of which are fought tooth and nail by the same environmentalists that right now are crying wolf over a supposed increase in forest fires due to global warming, when in fact global warming is decreasing a worldwide forest fire danger in the Northern Hemisphere.
There was a time when a politician would claim that a journalist would request that they source that. Nowadays, unfortunately, too many journalists take whatever a politician spews out as gospel. But when you read Gregory's book, Inconvenient Facts of Science That Al Gore Doesn't Want You to Know, he just doesn't say it. He sources it with the true science, the concrete science, not the abstract ideas that too many want to inject as fact and science. Inconvenientfacts.xyz is the website. Gregory Wrightstone, thanks for being here today.
You betcha. Thank you so much.